This truly feels like the episode that shouldn't be. It's been felt like that lately. Like I don't know if there's a look. I just let you guys know I'm not depressed. I'm not sad, and I have no of those thoughts because we tried a little. We did the whole thing. StreamYard, wonderful platform, used it many times. Today, I send the invite to Jeremy. He can't hear me at all. He said a strange robot noise was happening. We're pretty anti-robot here. So it doesn't really jive here. Was it your gang stalker or the gang stalker lady? I don't know. But I was going to say the other day, I'm not going to lie, I had a dream that I've been having some wild dreams lately, but like one of them, not to get weird, but one of them involved a video playing that Jeremy was in on a TV, but you were at Diddy's house, dude. You were doing like some recon work you were just not like, I mean, you weren't doing the things. You were like trying to find out what was wrong. And I was just like, and for some reason, when I woke up, like there were other things happening in that dream, but I was like, oh damn, did he really do like a Diddy video? Like that'd be sick. And then it was just a weird dream.
From the 5 to the 6, we be in the mix with that rare candy paint job on the whip. I need food for the kids, money for the rent. Fuck a lockdown, baby, I can't do that shit. And I don't ever vote, cause I'm fucking broke. And either way, I know the police ain't gon' leave me alone. On a plane by the visit, Glenn Rockney. Crypto told me I should bring the Glock with me. So I packed up my piece and I'm sliding. Cause we might get caught up in a riot. Middle finger Trump, middle finger Biden. Fuck a left, fuck a right, is you riding? We love to see it, dudes rocking. Ain't no politics, baby, we just talking. From the birds to the bricks, we be in the mix with that rare candy paint job on the whip. Who you with?
Diddy's back now. I feel like I don't know if anybody's looking for him anymore. I feel like they're just like, hey, disappear for a week, dude. Like, damn. And then and then Beyonce dropped the country album as a distraction.
I heard
Yeah. Because Jay-Z's the real guy. We know this, right? Jay-Z's the real guy that everybody's trying
Everyone
to get.
Knows it.
I think they're getting to Diddy to get to Jay-Z, I think.
Yeah.
I just, that's my thing. Because Jay-Z's had like, dude, he's had the Illuminati allegations. He's been pretty much ever since he got popular. He's been having these like Rothschild style things happen. Like these really strange, like where he's involved, especially when like Obama got elected, it definitely didn't help the allegations.
And he does all the. He did that video of him dancing with what's her name, Marina Abramovich.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The spirit cooker. Yeah, spirit we love cooker. Her.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. And then he has just dreads now. Nobody talks about that. Jay-Z is like in your 50s. You just grew dreads.
Yeah.
Like I don't know.
It's the whole like he's trying to do the Basquiat thing. I remember I think it was 50 Cent said he's trying to look like that gay painter and he couldn't remember his name.
But I also think the dreads are fake. Like I think they're just like pa, like you just slide on.
You think Jay-Z's wearing a wig?
Yes, he's 50 years old. You don't just grow dreads when you're 50.
I guess not. I never thought of that.
Only 40 can pull that off. Old guy, just like, yeah, I'm just gonna try it.
Nah, yeah, you know, they got sick stuff now for hair plugs. Like I saw this NBA player guy that he had like the George Costanza, Jason Alexander haircut, and then they just slid like.
Oh, I saw that video.
Scott, it looked good. Like
that was real. I thought that was a joke.
They put the glue on the hair.
Yeah, Brian Urlacher's got hair now. Like, there's all these people that have like. It's not like 70s toupee thing. That's not. We're past that point now. It's about time the fellas got something, right? But but anyways, like I was just thinking, like Jay-Z's the guy they're trying to go after this whole time. Cause Diddy's got this like insane, like everybody knew he was weird. Like everybody knew, like for the longest time. Chappelle had skits about him, go fetch me Cambodian breast milk, you know, like all that. Like everyone knew he was an odd person. I do think that he was responsible for Biggie, possibly Tupac's death. Like both of them, but Biggie for sure, like Biggie without question. I think that's just like an open secret. And then like, you know, you had the whole Shine incident with, where he took, basically Shine, there was a nightclub shooting or whatever. Somebody died. And then Shine had to do a pretty considerable amount of time in prison. Now Shine is like the king of Belize or something, which is crazy or something. He got deported whatever, like, you like, okay, you can, you're out of prison, but don't come here. But I guess his dad was like a factor down there. So it's like, I feel like there's like a whole Central American thing happening with like, like overthrowing of things happening under the Diddy thing. And we're kind of just laughing about it because it is funny, but it's like the Epstein thing felt super nefarious.
I wonder when they crossed that line, because he's like super entrenched in all of the powerful circles, Diddy, as well as, you know, Epstein was as well too. But just like when they say, okay, get him, you know, he was, it wasn't a secret. It's an open secret. They call it an open secret. So when are they allowed to finally go after these people?
They're like, whenever the Nickelodeon documentary comes out, Diddy, you're a dead man. I'm just letting you know. Like, that's what the agent said. It's like, I can't do anything to stop this. Are you serious, dude? But yeah, this is like Epstein directed by Tyler Perry, dude. The Diddy thing. It's crazy. This is just, it's just amazing. The black, like the blackmail, like all that. I want to see more of it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. P. Diddy. Yeah. And it's, I knew it was happening. I was like, because 50 Cent is the winner in all this, by the way. Like, I, for the longest time, I remember when 50 Cent was like going at everybody, the game and stuff. And I was kind of like against him, but
his arc has been like, upward for like 20 years now. It's crazy.
Floyd Mayweather, dude, when he was going after Floyd Mayweather. And now he's just like, yeah, I told you guys, they're all gay. Like, that's just like, what do you guys, I've been telling you this forever. Yeah. Like, it's like the guy.
He thought that was just him being him. Like, okay, you call everyone gay, you know, but it was not.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, yeah, we're sure the game was a male stripper. And you're like, God, he was. Yeah. I know. Yeah, that's what's. I know. But one day, hey, see if you can find him in the Dominican Republic or something. See if you could just walk up on him, dude. Just
have you seen, like, Meek Mill's recent tweets?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about that.
No. Like, no, there's new stuff.
Oh, new.
The most recent one I saw was like, you know, I'm focused on Gaza and I'm focused on Ukraine. I'm focused on Haiti, and then like just out of nowhere at the end, he says, "I'm not gay."
Dude, like, it's Chandler Jones, dude. They do the Chandler Jones.
Yeah, he does it all. He will not, dude. He straight up will. Dude, that's when you know. Okay, look. No big deal if you are, Meek. Oh, I have the tweet. I bookmarked it. I knew I was bookmarking it for something. Y'all choose to watch rap battles and gossip. .. He's a big .. guy. Ellipses guy. I use it. Yeah. He's a little bit of overkill, but he did pay for the blue check, so you can get more characters. It's all good. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I watch Gaza Israel. And it's just Gaza Israel as if it's one country. And and then Haiti being torn apart. .. I watch the state of people really poor in real life. Some think I'm different. I think they are clueless to real life. But hey, who am I? Y'all do coke, and I don't. I don't. Some gay. I'm not. So
yeah, that's a great tweet.
If you call him gay, he said he wasn't, guys. I don't know what to tell you. So, but yeah, it's like, it is rough though. It is rough to see like legal documents that you were like, that's like there's like senators looking at that, like, damn, Meek, you know, like, it's tough. We're going to get you right back to the episode, but I just wanted to let you guys know of a few other things we offer at Rare Candy Industries. We have a Substack with free and paid subscription options. Free subscribers get access to all written content. That includes Bob's Red Pill. That's the best thing going on the internet right now. Trust me. Paid subscribers get full access to our premium episode feed. And that's just every episode we don't necessarily want to share with the general public, if you know what I'm saying. Again, that's rarecandy.substack.com. We also have merch. That link's a little long for me to say right now, but go to the description, go to our merch store, and find a shirt that's right for you. We have Rare Candy shirts, Dr. Bronner soap label shirts, Rishi mushroom shirts, all types of stuff there. Check it out. There's got to be something for you. And lastly, check us out on social media. On Instagram, we're Rare Candy Pod, but on Twitter, we're at Rare Candy Pod 1. All right, enough of that. Let's get you back into the episode. So, Jeremy, you went back to Israel since the last time we talked to you?
I went back to Israel.
Just for the vibes or like what happened? Yeah,
for the good vibes. I was there for about 3 weeks.
Damn.
Yeah.
What's it? Okay, first off, before we get into what's happening there, the I bet the food's tight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The food in Israel proper is not good except for the pizza. The pizza's great for some reason. I don't know what that, why this is just my experience. That pizza is really great, and all the other food is not that great. But in like the East Jerusalem and the Palestinian neighborhoods and the Arab neighborhoods, the Arabic food, the hummus, the pita, the kebabs, all of that stuff is great. But in Israel, the food is not great other than the pizza.
Wow. Yeah. That sucks, dude. Cause like when you get like those sick, like Israeli kind of like cookbooks and stuff, it's like, oh God, that looks so good. Oh man.
No, it
like,
looks, you know, it looks good.
Yeah. But
also another thing, the whole country is kosher. So the McDonald's or the like any fast food restaurant at all, there's no such thing as a cheeseburger in Israel. It's just a burger. There's no cheese. Which is fine. I'm not eating it, but like it's interesting to see every single burger that anybody eats at any burger place is not a cheeseburger. It's just the meat on the bun.
Yeah. Damn, they could have a Hebrew National though, dude. Like a hot dog. They could. Like Costco. They could just put a big ass. Yeah. Big ass Gosco, dude. Just put a big. just a big right in the middle of Gaza Strip. Just put a big ass Costco food court and everything.
We need this land for this. We need this.
Yeah, you know, that's what it was all for, actually. But
I would respect that more than what it is.
Honestly, before we get into your trip, I've seen some tides turning and I see a lot more even since the last time we talked, you see a lot more people like being a little more outspoken towards Palestine, but I just wish people would just admit like why they support what side. Cause like half the time you'll see this guy and he'll have like the Israel flag. His last name will be like a very Jewish last name. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, you know, this university, like all these accolades. And he'll just be like, it just feels like Israel's in the right here. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, dude, why don't you just say, dude, I'm Jewish, dude. I'm rooting for the Jewish team. Like, yep. You know, like I just feel like to me, it's like if I was watching Yankees versus Red Sox, I wouldn't be like, it just feels like the Red Sox have a better minor league system. It's like, no, I'm a fan of this team. That's why I'm going for. Yeah. But all these people have to do like, I think I have the, you know, it's like there's this weird, like obvious tribalism that happens that cannot be viewed as tribalism. Like we cannot get it out of the bag, even though everyone sees it. So, but anyways, you're there. Why'd you go back? Why just again, like see what's back, like, or 3 weeks is a long time.
I went there specifically to, I got added to, and I added myself to a bunch of WhatsApp groups, and it was the Israelis who were at the border blocking the humanitarian aid. So I saw how they were organizing. And I thought I could probably just go there and join them for a few weeks and kind of lay low and then interview them once they got to know me and let them be candid with me and have them explain what they're doing and what they've done in Gaza, because a lot of them are reservists. And so I was there taking a shuttle from Jerusalem through the West Bank to the border of Gaza every day with these people, eating lunch with them, talking to them, just spending the days with them entirely. For a few weeks.
Yeah. How about that pizza, huh? You know, yeah. Pizza.
By the way, like, oh, the pizza is really good.
That's a good idea. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah.
Say it again.
Was that code? Well, you know,
pizza. You know, pizza.
I know. I now that I'm thinking about it, it sounds like I should not be saying that.
Yeah. Go to Israel, try the pizza.
Grapefruit in my eye.
Over there, that one particularly. They have a comet here, too. Yeah, but that's what I feel. I know. But have you noticed it, though? Like, have you noticed that I think, I don't want to say that the tide's turning, because the money still goes where the money goes.
Yeah, of course.
But I see way more people speaking out. You know what I mean?
I think Rogan
was big. Yeah,
Rogan.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, it's a Rogan thing. But Ben Shapiro didn't care for that.
It's just a matter of, you know, every week there's more footage of, you know, dead people and bombs going off. And it's just like a matter of time before more people change their minds and say, you know what, maybe, you know, October 7th was a long time ago. They're still, you know, dropping 2,000-pound bombs on, you know, homes and schools. You know, I think just as time goes on, people will decide it's not as justified as they thought originally.
Yeah. So exactly, and because again, and right, it's It's weird because it's a dog year ago. Like, it's October 7th. It's not that long ago, but on internet terms, that's like an election cycle ago almost. I think that, you know, whenever you see the people on the internet that's like, whoa, did you forget about October 7th? I haven't seen you. I checked your tweets from October 7th through October 10th, and I didn't see one tweet condemning Hamas. Like, the people do that now to, like, remind the people that it's like, you may think I'm wrong and you may be up to, you know, up to something here, but just know that I know that you're a genocide supporter, when it's just kind of these two people pointing at each other saying there's a genocide happening, which is like, yeah, I've seen the highlights. That's not fair to say, but the Sports Center. Yeah, no, but I've seen some of the clips where it's like, yeah, obviously something bad's happening there. But again, this has been happening since what, the 40s and stuff, like this fight. And it's weird to pick a day where you can just start and stop like a war.
Exactly.
There are people at my work, not saying I work with Rhodes Scholars, they're Rhode, R-O-A-D scholars. And they will say they think Israel-Palestine started on October 7th. Like, no joke. Like, I think that's like really been the biggest thing about kind of the thing happening right now, is to introduce to a lot of people who aren't Jewish, who aren't Muslim or anything, to be like, actually, this war just happened. It's a different Middle East war that you just found out about on October 7th.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not a surprise. Like, it is true. Like, you know, in the 40s, you take all of these Arabs and you say, hit, we're going to have a Jewish only country here. All of you guys, all the Palestinians, they have to go into this thing called the Gaza Strip. You know, and then you put them under Caesar and occupation for, you know, all these years. Of course, every now and then you're going to have, you know, an armed resistance that says, no, we don't like how things are right now. And of course, you know, October 7th, it was very bad. It was very bad. But it's not a surprise.
Have you seen the, I can't go here yet, but like,
yeah,
I saw somebody from like the Palestine side, somebody who like really is on the that's their thing. It's the Palestine thing. And they said, they think that some of the footage of October 7th was AI.
It's interesting. I've never heard that. I be surprised? I wouldn't be super surprised. It's a giant militarized government that's super ahead in technology in terms of other countries. Like, yeah, they can make some AI videos. Of course they can.
Cause I saw a video of AI creating hell the other day. Like, it was just like,
I love that.
I really like that video. I don't know. I think about it for everything.
All the arms are like all the arms are reaching towards. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. I kind of liked it, but it was just kind of like, okay, well, I was like, damn, like that's like just the AI we have access to. I'm not saying that looked real, but like it was a pretty cool, like, you know, at least cinematic look of like hell. And I was like, okay, are we just going to be dealing with this for like the rest of our lives? Of like, was that even a real video that like we sent millions of dollars or billions of dollars over for to like strengthen a country?
The video, they apparently, the IDF put together a 40-minute video of footage from October 7th. But it's not public. It's by invite only.
It's paywalled. Yeah, Patreon.
Yeah. So it's like we've invited a few journalists from the Wall Street Journal and a journalist from the New York Times and this comedian to come see the video. And then these people see the video and then they go and tell, you know, their influencers. They go on social media or they go to a stand-up show and they say, you know, I saw the video. It was very bad. It's just a little interesting that, you know, if it's real, like why – I just don't understand why everyone can't see this video, especially if they want public support. Show this video to everyone.
Exactly. Like, we had to watch, I mean, we've had to watch all sorts of bad. I mean, I'm sorry, like when the towers hit,
yeah,
we had to watch the towers. Like, you know, you had to, I know it's a little bit further away, it's a building going down, you don't see it as much, but like, I'm sorry, dude. If I go on X, I can see a beheading video that I don't want to see. I'm not one of those people that cries about content on X, but like I see some stuff I really don't want to see. I see people dying all the time on X, and it's very weird that you would just send it to like Brett Gelman and that's it, and just be like, hey, did you see it? And he's like, yeah, and then goes and like, I personally wouldn't even click on the video, but just the fact that it was made available to me, I'd be like, all right.
If someone's offering you to, then you believe at least that it's kind of real. I'm not saying it's not real. It's just interesting that they're not letting anyone see it.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. It's not, the people say it's a denier. It's like, no, I think the October 7th thing happened. I mean, did happen, but it's also
the bigger problem is all this stuff, all the numbers, all the everything, all the takes are just filtered through this weird state apparatus. Mm-hmm. And they've admitted many times before that they want Hamas to do, keep doing what they do, because it's easier to control that narrative surrounding Hamas as a terrorist organization. So it's just super funny. You know, it's just interesting how this ended. You know, all the, like, you know, the IDW type, the Shapiros and the Coleman Hughes types, who I like on certain stuff, you know, for sure. But they all just take that stuff at face value and give them the 100% benefit of the doubt. And it's like, you guys, you're supposed to be sharp, you know, like, what's that about?
Of course. Yeah.
What
if it's a proclamation coming from the Biden administration? Of course.
Yeah.
You know, this whole group will say he's lying. They're lying. You can't believe a word they say. But when it's the Israeli government, they're like, it's gospel. It's just, they're both governments. And Glenn, you know, what's the difference?
Yeah. And Glenn, I think the Coleman Hughes thing is like, he's cut from the Sam Harris cloth. Like, his whole style. I like that guy. I'm not like a hater at all. I think he's like reasonable and stuff. But his whole thing is like, he got like his whole cadence and everything and takes from Sam Harris. So that's where that comes from.
That makes sense. Yeah. Cause like, and it was weird that, like, you know, I remember like when Candace Owens, you know, I got fired. I don't know what the whole thing, I think she got fired from the Daily Wire. And part of me was like, oh, that's the whole, people would always go to this zone where they would say, or like this realm of thought to go, well, I thought the Daily Wire was about free speech. I'm like, and then the response is always, well, the Daily Wire, it's a private company. And you, they do that. It's like, yeah, first off, for me, I didn't even know Candace Owens worked at the Daily Wire. Like, I really didn't. I thought she just had her own thing.
When you find like a veterans on the Yankees, you're like, damn, is he?
He's still in the league. To be honest, dude, during COVID, she was phenomenal. Like, I thought she was really good on the vaccine. Like, she was like,
she's on, like, the 50 really, cent mark. Like, started kind of.
Yeah, she was really good. Look, the whole format of it is still that kind of like, hey, you don't scroll past this video. Like, those people, like, it's still very like produced and whatever, but, you know, whatever. A lot of like people at my work, a lot of people I know, like, love that style of information. And, you know, she was making good points about Palestine, about Gaza and all this stuff and Zionism. But at the same time, I was like, yeah, but you do work for Ben Shapiro. Like, I was like, if I was Ben Shapiro, I'd be like, dog, like, what are you doing? You know, like, I hired you. You know what I mean? Like, this is like my thing. You know,
even recently. I mean, first, I remember she first. And like, I have a soft spot for Kanye West. I remember she came to Kanye West's defense when became a Trump supporter.
I like the way Candace.
And that's when knew who she was.
Yeah, he said that. He said, I like the way Candace Owens thinks. People freaked out when he posted that on the internet.
I didn't know who that was before then.
Yeah, because she got big, at least when I first started seeing her, because I'm a sports guy, she got big during the Kaepernick thing, because she was the person that, you know, she was of the race that would, you wouldn't think would be saying that, big war in that, and then she kind of went big on the, you know, for a lot of things, like a lot of, like, the, you know, classic conservative thing. Conservatives like that they had like a black person to kind of, you know, be a representative to black. It was a big thing for a while. But then when like COVID hit, I think I remember my wife sending me like a video, and I was like, yo, not only is she just like saying like this is not what we think it is and stuff, like, she was getting into real like numbers on like pregnant women and things like
that. She made a whole documentary about the HPV vaccine recently. Like, she's like not like, I definitely rather Candace Owens be around than not be around. Like, it's really great. Some of the stuff that she's doing, it's just hard to
family. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
She had her family. She really doubled down on her moral compass, you know, like, this is all about, you know, she, you know, some people can just really ratchet away from any kind of, you know, they just become a media star and they just lose any connect. She's really doubling down on like the integrity aspect of it, which I really like, you know.
No, I like definitely respect her, and it's hard to even, who cares? Like, I mean, I don't know if any of it's genuine, but I do believe some of it's genuine, because it's so hard. I mean, these people are so, you know, they're famous, they are media personalities, and, you know, she's the one, you know, you wouldn't expect a black person to be against Black Lives Matter. You wouldn't expect someone who worked at the Daily Wire to come out in support of Palestine. Like, it is, she just constantly does this type of thing, but she is correct every time. So it's like, what are you going to do? And with the Daily Wire, there's that guy. What's his name? He does all the trans stuff.
Matt Walsh
said, Ben Shapiro said in an interview with, I think it was Sam Harris. He said, Matt Walsh, he believes that we should not be involved in what's going on in Israel, Palestine. He said, I support the, you know, the moral superiority of Israel over Hamas, but it is so far away that I just don't think our tax dollars should go there. And Ben Shapiro said, you know, we have people there here who clearly don't want, who don't support Israel, don't think that U.S. should support Israel, and it's fine. But so it's like clearly not the whole Israel thing that got Candace fired. But like, I never heard Matt Walsh say that in his life. He definitely hasn't made that his whole character. He's always talking about the LGBT stuff and the trans stuff. I wonder if he was to start like every day talking about how the U.S. should not be involved, if Ben Shapiro would still treat him the same way. Because Candace Owens was doing this every single day talking about Israel-Palestine.
Yeah, and I'm, to be honest, I don't know where Ben Shapiro's money comes from for like the Daily Wire. I don't. I'm sure he gets some sort of donations. I can't imagine it's all his money coming in and all that. And I'm sure wherever the money's coming from said, "Hey, you see that lady that talks on your channel sometimes? Mm-hmm. You hear what she's been saying? You know, and that is the problem. Like that is the problem. I agree with what Candace Owens is saying. My problem is like, I won't, if that is truly my stance, I will not be employed by somebody who is like a rabidly against what I'm saying, because even if they do the agree to disagree when we have the job interview, when push comes to shove, they'll just discard you like nothing. And I think she's a big enough name to where she doesn't need the Daily Wire. In fact, me not knowing that she was at the Daily Wire all these years or for however long, mm-hmm. lets it be known that like Candace Owens herself is a brand. And I know I think she's married to a pretty wealthy man. I think if I'm not mistaken, I think she's got a family with, like, I don't know if he's a billionaire, but he's got a lot of money. I'm kind of like, dude, just if you started your own channel, like you wouldn't have to do any of this stuff. Like you wouldn't have to jump through any of these loopholes. And it's not that hard to just put a computer in front of your face and like say the thing. If you already have the hard part is building the audience, which she already has. The audience, for the most part, I think will travel with her, except for, you know, the Israel people, but they might have left her a long time ago. And I have a hard time with people who work for the people who are super tribalist about, you know, topic X, and then you go against them and you're surprised when they do. Can you?
Makes me so confused about whether or not she has always believed this. Like, am I really to believe that she's always believed it, or that she's, you know, supporting Israel now she doesn't, now this is where she draws the line? Like it doesn't make sense that she was working for the Daily Wire, essentially just like Israel propaganda every time that they talk about the Middle East, and she just didn't care. And like where did she, it just doesn't make sense. It makes no sense, honestly.
No, I don't know either. It was kind of strange because I didn't know that was even her take on the whole thing. And neither. I didn't know when it started. But
I would be surprised if she's ever. I don't think she's ever said anything like being anti-Zionist, being pro-Palestinian. Like I don't think she's ever said anything like that before in the last few months.
Yeah. No. Exactly. And she. You know, but it's like that with all these people. I don't know. I watched just like 10 minutes. I don't have anything against Tucker really. I like him more than I don't, but his Tucker on X is just not hitting for me. I don't know. It's not just, I miss the wood panel studio, dude. I miss it bad. We need the old Tuck back, dude. Like, cause this is not it. But anyways, like Don Lemon, right? Don Lemon gets fired from Elon Musk's ex or some weird fake thing happened where I'm like, there's no way that was a real thing that happened. But Don Lemon was like, I thought this was the free speech platform. And that's everyone's debate now that Elon Musk owns Twitter is, oh, I thought I had free speech. It's just always this dumb like debate that happens. But Chris Cuomo's the CNN guy. Yeah, Chris Cuomo was on he's got fired from CNN, got like Me Too'd and all that. Now he's kind of trying to come out as like a masculine, like I'm this masculine, hey Cuomo, like one of those guys. because that's really the only direction he can go in at this point. But like him and Tucker had this completely, it was supposed to come off as like boys at the bar, like putting aside their differences. But he was saying like, you were really mean to me, man. And like Tucker was like, yeah, my wife was like, why are you so mean to that guy? And he's like, because I can't, because I'm just a dick. Like, and it's just like, do these people believe anything? Like, I do certainly feel like the NPC brain chip meme is like when you're that level of journalism, that level of podcast, anything. It's like, dude, do these people really believe? You can't pivot that hard, like in real time, man. Like,
Cuomo went from CNN to he interviews Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as much as he can. And every few nights and Kennedy has said like, oh, shout out to News Nation, thank you so much for having me on this often, the only channel that allows this. And he's sort of really quickly, actually, Cuomo has kind of become this, look, I'm the only television journalist interviewing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. because I don't believe in the two-party system, blah blah blah. It's just like, but where else could he have gone? If you can't be CNN independently, you know, you have to go the, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. route.
And it's so weird that they look for like a new organization to join. It's like, if I got booted out of CNN, they didn't have my back. He was top dog at CNN. Like, he was top lead anchor. I mean,
that's crazy.
I know this because of my family watches it. So like, he's on there, you know. And then your brother's the mayor of New York, just packing sardine can in the nursing homes. Just thinning out Social Security.
Yeah.
Just thinning it out. Just, all right, I know where we could save a little some money here. Doing that, and then he's top dog at CNN. You have, like, the ultimate, like, just Cuomo brotherhood running, like, the East Coast news cycle. And then both of them go down. And it's like the next thing they do is, like, I want to join another news program. And it's like, they're all the same. I mean, like, even Fox, I understand that they don't talk about the same things, but like they all have the same kind of like attitude when you go against whatever it is they're trying to push. And it's like, I have trouble with a lot of like boomers, because they, you know, if you watch any, even some of the best like 70s movies where like there's a conspiracy and some guy solves it, they're like, and I'm gonna take it to the New York Times after I find it. And then the New York Times guy's like, this is awesome, let's print this. And then everybody finds out the truth. And I'm like, they think that's still how this works.
It's not how this works.
Or how it ever worked. Yeah.
If you remember, this is a long time ago. This was like during the Black Lives Matter riots. The New York Times printed something that Tom Cotton wrote, saying that we should send the military onto the streets to secure America, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And there was two editors in the New York Times that allowed that to go to print. And the New York Times fired these people. And Ben Shapiro at the time, he did like emergency streams. He spent days talking about this, of how these two editors, they were wronged by the liberal media and this and that. It's like, whether you're Daily Wire, whether New York Times, like, everyone has these editorial standards, whether we like them or not. And Ben Shapiro just happens to be, you have to be nice to Israel. Like, he fired Candace Owens for saying the wrong thing about Israel. And he criticized New York Times because they fired people who were too right wing. You know, it's just, it's, they're all the same.
Yeah.
Especially the Daily Wire was started by some billionaire, I can't remember his name, gave Ben Shapiro a bunch of money to start it.
Oh, I was wondering how that came to be.
It's not really a grassroots type operation.
Yeah, exactly. Jeremy Boring.
Oh yeah, he's like in charge of it right now, but I don't think he's not the founder or anything.
Oh, that's not the founder. Okay.
They might be the founders, but they weren't the people who founders, but not the funders.
Funders. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, because no, I guess whatever. Can't find it. But anyways, it's not just Ben Shapiro stumbling into a family fortune and starting his own news company, right? It's having bosses, like, the whole time. It's like, why are these people addicted to having bosses?
Yeah. His name's Ferris Wilkes.
Ferris Wilkes.
He gave them $4.7 billion to start the Daily Wire.
What?
Wait.
God, dude.
That is
million. I'm so sorry, million.
Okay. I was gonna say that's. That would have been crazy.
I was like, can I just have some of that money. No, yeah. That's the thing. Then I have to be, you know, it's never with no strings attached. But yeah, like that's the craziest part about it, man. It's like they're addicted to having bosses, these people. Like, and I never believe it. Like when they truly go rogue, right? Like, look, you don't have a boss, right, Jeremy? Like, you don't actually have like someone you report to all the time. You might be someone say, hey, go over here for this one particular thing and do that. But at the end of the day, like, there is maybe you don't have the job security other people have, but it's like, it is still like you get to cover the thing you want to do. Like, you went to Israel, right? No, it's not cheap to do that, but like, you go to Israel and you go for 3 weeks and you're actually genuinely trying to find the answer to something, right? Like, you're generally saying, like, okay, how are they cutting off aid? Are they doing this?
Of course. Yeah, no. But when I hear it, when I worked for Rebel News and I went to Russia, I did a bunch of great things there. But I did one thing where I went to, it was like an orphanage, a refugee camp that was funded by the Russian government. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed a bunch of kids there, interviewed some teachers. I walked around. And then I came back and I said, you know, I have this great thing. I spent a day at a refugee camp. And they're like, that's awesome. Can't put it anywhere. It was funded by the government. The Rebel News cannot afford of being accused of being, you know, influenced by Russia or in bed with Russia. Wow. So what you did there, I'm sorry you wasted your day, but we're not putting that anywhere. And it's like, okay, sure, fine. That, I guess no one will ever see that. But then I quit. And then many weeks later, that refugee camp that I was at was accused of by the U.S. State Department of being evidence of war crimes, saying that these children were illegally taken from Ukraine and these children did not want to be there. They were there against their will and, you know, making references to Nazi Germany. And I was the only journalist, Western journalist at least, that had been to any of these camps. And I had this on my hard drive and my boss didn't let me put it out. But I didn't work for them anymore. So I called up Ezra Levant, the guy who runs Rebel News. I paid him some money. I was like, now it's more newsworthy than it's ever been. And so then I did it with Max. I did it with the Gray Zone then. But it was crazy that having a boss, you could have something so interesting or just like so great. And them just like, just say, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's going in the trash. No one's ever going to see that because we pay you and we're the boss. And it's like understandable. That's how it works. They are paying me. But it's exactly. Not a great way to write news, to do news.
Well, exactly. It's like that's just a part. Like the other day, I saw this thing where, and I felt bad. Like it's everything that I stand for, and everything that I'm against was this guy in the military refusing a vaccine, and then they got that vaccine into him. I'm just gonna tell you
that much. Shit was crazy. I was like,
did you see that video? That video was crazy.
I didn't know if they were. I was like, did they forcibly do it or were they just trying to get him into a room? No, they did it, dude.
But at the end of the day, anybody that joins, you are, okay, I agree, but you are not, you are the property of the U.S. government. You joined the military. Like, I mean, that is the trade-off. Like, I know some people don't know that's what they sign up for, and I'm not shitting on people that joined the military, but everybody I know that would go to the military, they would be like, oh yeah, they used to just jam like needles with like brown liquid into me. Some shit. Like I was going to this country and they would just jam like syringes into you. It's like, you don't really have a leg to stand on. Like in that sense. And it's like, there are sacrifices that you do have to make. And I hate to say this because it kind of sounds like I'm validating like, oh, you can't be part of society. It's like, no, but I mean, there are these people that want to cush job that pays X amount of dollars a year covering, but then while also saying the truth, it's like, no, it's actually kind of mutually exclusive. Those are usually the schizo people that are like scrounging up money to like do their next venture. Like those are the people that actually are allowed to say the truth. It is a trade-off a lot of times. You know, you might find somebody that agrees with you, but even then, like, are there donors? Are there, you know, even the political leanings, like that could change and you could be asked to cover another current thing that you're not so passionate about.
Someone like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., like you're following his campaign. You're like, this is crazy. This guy is saying everything right. Everything about, you know, agriculture and chemicals and industrial poisons and pharma and COVID and Ukraine. Like it's crazy. He's like, he's getting everything right. And then he teams up with Rabbi Shmuley. And He's like, you're like, wait a second, maybe this was the trade-off. Maybe he had to support this one horrible thing in order to support all these great things, because it doesn't add up.
Didn't you go to the store?
Oh, I went to the sex store, yeah. From the 5 to 6, we be in the mix with a rickety paint job on the wheel. I need food for the kids, money for the
Yeah, you went to the sex, to the Shmuley sex.
So Rabbi Shmuley
was it like lit?
Let me just explain who he is. He's like a super politically connected like rabbi. I think he's not even a rabbi anymore. He was the spiritual advisor for Oprah and Michael Jackson. And then right when Trump was getting accused of anti-Semitism, he appears out of nowhere. He says, "Listen, I'm a rabbi. Trump loves Jews." And then he kind of like disappeared in the distance. And then Robert F. Kennedy Jr. got accused of being anti-Semitic because he explained that he made the
Holocaust thing.
He was referencing a paper in PubMed that said COVID affects Chinese people and Ashkenazi Jews less than it does other people or something. And so he was just love
that he said that too. He's
just saying that like it's possible for a virus to affect different races differently, which is like
we literally have sickle cell anemia. Like it's a fact. Like that's like it's like not even a shock to say that. But again, it's still racist to say that it was from a lab, not the wet market, which is actually racist.
That's great.
The Rabbi Shmuley thing. I didn't know any of his like lore or history. I thought he was this thing that spawned out of like a Terminator electrical orb on October 7th. Like I didn't see him.
He's been around. Yeah.
Wow. He's with the big O dog, dude.
Oprah and Michael Jackson and Trump. And he started. So he came back out of the woodwork when Kennedy was accused of being anti-Semitic to say, "Listen, Kennedy loves Jews." And they paraded each other around the country for a little while, and everyone would make fun of him because his daughter owns a store in Jerusalem called Kosher Sex. It's a sex shop. They have butt plugs and dildos and lube and t-shirts, and the whole idea is like, look, you can. I don't understand. Like, is this dildo kosher? Like, what does that even? What does that mean?
It's a Woody Allen joke. No, I'm kidding. But
that's funny.
Yeah. An Annie Hall. You know.
But I walked in there and I walked in because I was so curious. I thought it'd be so silly if she agreed to be interviewed by me, and I just thought it'd be an interesting experience. Plus, it was close to my hotel.
Yeah, cover your ass when you walk in there, dude. They might hit you with that Star of David plug, dude. gotcha. Yeah,
like, I really just got to use the bathroom. It's like you got to buy something.
Sorry.
You gotta Jeremy's walking in like, I thought this was a pizza place. Like, dude, it's crazy because I remember when you did mention the shop. Last time, I can't remember if you had already been there or not.
Ran into Rabbi Shmuley himself randomly on the street last time I was in Israel, and he was like, "What are you doing here?" And he was drunk. It was like 1 a.m. He had popcorn kernels on his shirt, but I knew it was him.
Based. And I've been there.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I say hello to him, and I tell him, I said, "Believe it or not, I used to work with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at Children's Health Defense." He said, "Really? What's your name?" I said, "My name is Jeremy Lafredo." He called Robert Kennedy Jr. up that second. He said, "I'm with Jeremy Lafredo. Do you know who this is?" And it wasn't on speaker. He apparently said yes. Hangs up the phone. He's talking to me. He says, "What are you doing here?" I say, "I'm just reporting on what's going on. You know, the war. I think I'm going to go to the West Bank tomorrow." He says, "You mean Judea and Samaria?" I forgot who I was talking to. It's like with the people who Judea and Samaria is like the biblical name for the West Bank.
Yep.
So if you're calling it the West Bank, you're not a Zionist, essentially. He called me a little bit right there. And he said, "Really, what do you like for who?" I said, "It's the Gray Zone." And the Gray Zone has written countless articles on Shmuley before. So he's so confused. He's drunk. He knows that I know the presidential candidate who he's becoming famous off of. But at the same time, I'm there for the Gray Zone, who he hates. so he doesn't know how to treat me.
He just takes out the big Max Blumenthal anal beads. He's like, this.
That's funny.
we gotta send Max that clip.
Yeah. He's like, no, he's got like a dummy with like a gag ball in a gray zone. Yeah. But,
so I saw him last time. He was very confused by me being there and knowing who Bobby Kennedy was. This time I saw his daughter. I walk in and I say, oh, I know your father, Robert Schmuley. She doesn't know. I sit down. I speak to her at her desk for a little while. I say, this is a really great story you have here. You mind? What do you got? And she's gives me a tour. These are the, but everything's like, 300 shekels, which is like, $80. It's like everything's overpriced. And she invites me to, she invites me to Shabbat dinner with her and her family. It's not something I go to, but she was nice, but she was also, a fanatic about, Zionism and also kosher sex. But I was just being as nice as I could to see if I could get any interesting experiences out of the visit.
So does he just, has to bless. So he's a real rabbi? Or is that just?
I think he was, and I think whoever issue, whoever makes you a rabbi makes you not a rabbi. They took away his credentials, I believe.
Oh, so then we have to ask, are the toys actually kosher?
That's a great question.
His
argument is that there's a kosher sex shop because sex toys, the main reason for divorce is that you guys aren't sexually attracted to each other anymore. So one way that maybe we can stop people from getting divorced is giving them sex toys.
Damn.
That's his argument.
Yeah. I mean, meet the Fockers, the Barbara Streisand and like Dustin Hoffman people. I feel like they'd be like up in there. But that is crazy. Cause when I saw Rabbi Shmuley, I watched the clip when he was on Alex Jones.
Did you watch that?
Alex got his ass, dude.
I watched it as well.
Because, dude, it's so funny because Alex sits there with this, like, when Alex Jones has that serious, like, I'm listening face, it's really funny. Like, it's actually funnier than most of the things he says, like, because it's just he's sitting there locked in, and he's just got a butt plug joke just sitting there. he's like, it's there. Yeah, he's like, when you're done, I'm going to hit you with the butt plug joke. And then he's like, what, you got one in your ass now? Like on one right now, like that, and he's like, and then Rabbi Shmuley was talking about, he's like, oh, and you owe those families $4.5 billion, and he goes, and there was one Jewish boy in Sandy Hook, and I was like, of course, like they just really like he picks out the one kid. he was out of this world, and like Alex Jones hit the like him like grinding on his daughter at the party, like, or granddaughter at the party, kind of like sex toy stuff. Like he hit that, he had that ready to go. It was I honestly, props for him for even going on there. I don't know what he had to gain to go on there.
His whole shtick, Shmuley, and he's written in his book before, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's along the lines of, do anything for attention, do anything that will get you clicks, do anything to further your career as as a famous person. So like, he'll go on Alex Jones, he'll lose a debate, he doesn't care, he'll dress up as Candace Owens even though he looks like an idiot, he doesn't care, because it's just furthering this, he just wants everybody to know who he is.
Yeah, because dude, the money, the anti-Semitic thing that he did where he like put the money all over himself and it was like blood. I was like, that was the first time in a while where I was like, I think I don't need to use the internet anymore, because I looked at it like I don't have positive thoughts in my head right now. Like this is dark.
Who is, a greater purveyor and manufacturer of anti-Semitism, if not Rabbi Shmuley? People could go into one of his interviews totally unaware of how they feel about Israel and Jewish people and leave saying like, oh wow, if that's Israel supporters, if that's Jewish people, I don't like them. Like, I mean, it's not just Shmuley, it's Shmuley and the Israeli military right now. I mean, when they say anti-Semitism is on the rise, it's like, yeah, because you have a military planting, menorahs in the middle of neighborhoods that they blew up, trying to connect, the Israeli government with Judaism right now is a great way to manufacture anti-Semitism.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I can't shake the Oprah connection. The Oprah connection's weird, dude, because you have like you have Marianne Williamson, right? Mm-hmm. Oprah, Oprah person. You got Rabbi Shmuley. I mean, like, oh, I mean, look, it's she's. I don't know if she might be a little more behind the scenes now, but like when I was a kid, she was top dog. There was nobody bigger on TV than Oprah. Like,
when they were together.
Wow, because dude,
yeah, the late 90s.
Interesting. Yeah, Marianne was there during that time too. Yeah, that's insane. Like, because now it's like you have was she ever a serious political candidate? No, but she's always there to get people in for Biden when all that stuff is useful. She's very useful. Yeah. And then Rabbi Shmuley is there to keep Israel. At the very least, he can be the true controlled kind of like caricature, I guess is the way I would put it. Like truly the guy to maybe bait some people into like saying some weird stuff onto the internet that then gets like put as like, you know, hate speech or something. Because it's like at the end of the day, it's like I don't have that hate in my heart, but like when I saw him wearing the dollar signs, I'm just like, okay, yeah, what am I supposed to do here?
Like, he's baiting people into anti-Semitism. Like, exactly. he truly is like, there he can say anti-Semitism's on the rise, Jews are, you know Jews in America are not safe, but a giant purveyor of anti-Semitism is people like that who are so incredibly proudly Zionist, and they're willing to, you know, justify any war crime by Israel because it's a Jewish state. It's like, that's not a way to get people to like Jewish people. That's a way to people to turn them off from Judaism and Zionism.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And now, speaking of, you brought up RFK earlier. What do you think of the vice president selection?
I don't have... I mean, in the very beginning, I mean, it's still right now, I only have like a surface level understanding of who she is. I understand that she's, you know, a very connected, you know, Democratic operative and lawyer, the ex-wife of like the
Sergey Brin.
Yeah, Google CEO. Like those two things, like those are two horrible things. I met
that dude before, by the way, Sergey Brin. I used to
temp in California.
Yeah, I used to temp at Google, dude. So I was on campus trying to like scrounge up some lunch, and I seen that dude. It was like almost an impressive how like dark and like powerful he was. Like, I was like, whoa, it was a dark aura that dude had when I saw him. He was just kicking back. Like, he was just kicking back. And I was like, when you worked there, he would be in all the like promotional videos and stuff, like to when you would like get your temp agency, like hiring thing. And then I ran into him and like, I just said hi. I was like, and he goes, hey, like that. And walked away. I was just like,
so you knew who it was when you said hello.
Yeah, because I was freshly hired. So like he was all in like the thing, and like there were people like crowding around him. It was like a thing, you know. He wasn't just walking around the campus all the time. He wasn't like Steve Jobs, you know, where you'd be all in like Apple and stuff, and like after a while you'd get used to him. So, but anyways, yeah, there was always like this rumor that she was messing around with Elon.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. One of the things that was rumored to I think tank her marriage was. Whether it's true or not, I'm not sure, but I mean, hey, Elon gets active, dude. I mean, he gets down. So like, you never know. And then now it's RFK, and I don't know. I don't view him as like a viable political candidate, even though I largely like a lot of the stuff minus some of the foreign policy.
Of course. It's interesting how often like he's getting invited on CNN every few days to talk horribly about the two-party system. It's just really interesting. Like, never in my life have I ever seen somebody talk like that on CNN. It's interesting that they're inviting him on weekly to say how bad the Democrats and Republicans are and how similar they are to one another. It's like, that's a type of language and argument that I've never heard on CNN.
Yeah.
And it's weird that it's allowed. It's strange.
Do you think he's going to sheepdog? Because he's going to drop out, I think, like, eventually. Do you think he's going to sheepdog people to Biden? I really just don't want to go through that
anymore. I don't think he's going to shoot Dr. Biden. I just don't see that happening. I don't think he's like just someone else, like a Bernie Sanders or like a Pete Buttigieg. It's like he is a Kennedy. So I don't think that he is like, oh, I better say vote for Biden or the Democratic Party won't like me anymore. Like, they already don't like him. He's already an anti-vaxxer. You know, I don't see why he would have to do that.
Yeah, because I was worried about for a long time when I'd start to see these articles come out where it's like, hey, it turns out the vaccine, it's not safe. Might not be effective, you know, and might not be good for pregnant women. All these things that would have got you banned, blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows these, like all these things that pop up now. I was kind of wondering for a while whether you believe Trump is the guy or shouldn't be the guy. It's quite clear that he is the starter, conversation starter and stopper for every political voter. Either people love him or people believe that there's people that view him as like the biggest traitor in the history of the United States, which is hilarious, by the way. It's just like, are you kidding me? And then regardless, he's that guy. But with the vax, I thought for a while they were going to, because there have been a reasonable amount of adverse events. It's, you don't really see people shilling for it much anymore. Like the actual, like how effective it was, unless they're one of those fake Twitter doctors that we covered a few talks back. But for the most part, I was like, are they going to just put the vaccine? Are they just going to actually get Trump on warp speed? I was wondering if CNN was actually going to do that. I mean, it might, I think their pharma money might still be too big for them.
Yeah.
I mean, would CNN ever say Trump was in charge of that horrible vaccine program?
If you got hurt by all right, I'm CNN. I don't even know who works there anymore, but I'm CNN anchor
and Jake Tapper.
Tapper tonight goes. You know, for years we were talking about vaccines. I remember in school they gave it to me, and when we took it for polio, and it helped us out. That was when we had a good functioning system. From 2016 to 2020, we lived under a dictatorship, and we took a vaccine under that. And for anybody who got hurt, and like you can really carve out that window of like bad pharmaceuticals and just kind of be like, now we're back with Biden. We'll get the good ones. We'll get all these. It's not to make America anti-vax, but for someone to be like,
you think it'll come full circle? What, like Kamala was like, I'm not taking a Trump
rushed it. Trump rushed it. Trump didn't respond. You can see the narrative. I can see people like uploading this into their brains, these viewers saying Trump didn't shut the country down when he was supposed to. Trump didn't,
he made a horrible vaccine.
He made a horrible vaccine. He rushed it. He does love it. I mean, he does talk about how he loves it. And it got, you know, it was rolled out. It was rolled out. They could even do some apartheid kind of things. It was rolled out to, you know, here, this neighborhood first or this demographic first. And they could really just do that. I think for one, not only, because I do think this is one of the worst vaccines to ever come out. It's even though we just covered a massive one that came out, this was unprecedented with the fear model that was behind it, and
by far the most wild propaganda machine behind a pharmaceutical ever in history.
Agreed. So you had that. Yeah, that I agree. And I just wonder if you're able to want to just kind of launder that onto Trump, like kind of just launder that and just be like, look, we were good with Obama under that. We were good, even though there was the swine flu shit that happened under Obama that nobody remembers. The vaccine that was blinding nurses and things like that. But people just don't pay attention to that. The COVID thing was, everybody paid attention to that. You had to. It affected every single person. And it's very easy, I think, for the average CNN or MSNBC voters to just say, well, that was the vaccine under Trump. You could pull up the Kamala Harris, I'm not taking a vaccine made by Donald Trump. You could make an ad out of that. Like, it's just, I don't know if they're going to go there.
I think they're in way too deep
for
years and years to do it. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think they're just going to not, like, why bring up the horrible vaccine when you don't have to?
It's true.
Which is why the Trump thing, I mean, what's his political strategy with hyping the vaccine? It doesn't, no one that took it is going to be like, yeah, Trump, and no one that didn't take it is gonna, you know, it's
I don't know.
Right. It's like, I mean, from a pure political advisor standpoint, I'd be like, bro, like, just don't stop saying that.
I wish he wouldn't bring it up at all. He really shouldn't talk about it. Like, I've seen
some of the most recent like times where he's speaking, and like, so he's like, it seems like he's trying to, talk to the same demographic of people who believe the vaccine's bad, but, you know, going to the other things, like that he recently said, you know, central bank digital currency, I will never implement a central bank digital currency. So like he's like that, and that type of political rhetoric will resonate with people who hate the vaccine, but he won't talk about the vaccine. He'll just talk about other things like a CBDC
Right. Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah. You know what I mean? Digital IDs. All
yeah,
this
exactly.
Stuff
all this stuff that those people also hate, but do not talk about the vaccine.
Yeah. Exactly. He'd be so sick if he brought back the gold standard because he has got like the gold Trump Tower, the gold toilet. He's like the gold ass dude.
That'd be the coolest thing in the world.
I know.
That would end. I mean, he'd get murdered instantly, you know, of course.
Yeah, no,
I forget who it was. I think it was Jeffrey Tucker, who's like anti-lockdown poster. Like he's somebody I followed for a while. He posted like this really this time. I wish I still had it bookmarked, but it was Trump literally one day. It was like maybe April or like right when the kind of big like national emergency of COVID happened in 2020. So like late, let's just say late March. Mm-hmm. One day he was like, "We're not shutting the country down." He was on Twitter. We're not shutting the country down. We're not doing this. Like, we're going to get through this as Americans. Like, you need to, you know, he was even saying stuff about like sunlight, all this kind of stuff that you need to get through this, be healthy. Literally the next day, he's like, this is in our best interest to sit down and wait. And then like, there's a vaccine coming and all this stuff. So it's like, there clearly was a conversation that was had. Yeah, like happened? There, I mean, the many such cases tweet, all that stuff. Like he was, in my opinion, I think he was actually leaning towards like the side that I wanted him to be for a long time, but it's pretty tough, like, especially, I mean, he might have been the easiest president to get rid of, too, as far as, like, if you didn't say yes. I mean, there would have been half the country that would have celebrated it.
Well, I don't know how you can, and this is not a critique of him. This is more just an example of how crazy this scenario is. It's crazy that you could be a president and not start a new war, but you're still forced to recommend, like, a vaccine and lockdowns. That's, like, that's crazy. That's, like, it's, like, okay, we're, you know, it's, like, obviously the powers that be didn't wanted him in every fucking war and like all that stuff, but it's crazy like how powerful we are underestimating how powerful these guys are. This crazy,
right?
That, you know,
like the powers that be were like, "Oh, you're not starting a new war." Really, like the whole military industrial complex, they really wanted a war. They really haven't ever experienced not having a war for us. But fine, that's fine. Just please, like, recommend this vaccine.
Yeah,
I know. You wonder, and it's like, you know, for me, look, it's an election year. I can't wait till it's over. Honestly, I just can't. Can't wait. I don't want Biden to win at all. Like, this is really bad. But like really bad right now. Like, I don't know. Like, I know there's. It's weird. I feel like I'm in one of the reason I want it to end is because I feel like no matter what I say, there's always somebody that's like, "Oh, you're even participating in the two party system." It's like, dude, at the end of the day, it's not going to affect the way I live my life, I hope. But for a while, it's like, I can't sit there and be like, "Oh, Trump's perfect" either. Like, but I like him more than Biden. So, I mean, it's just is what it is. Like, I like him more. And
even policy wise, like, let's just say they have the same policies. And it's not true, but let's just say they do. Mm-hmm. One of them is much, much, much more fun to watch on the television.
100%.
And it's, you know, that's like truly like that's all it is.
You can't be like, "Well, Biden's a better speaker." It's like, you can't say that. Like, you literally can't say that. Yeah. So it's.
Dude, I mean, there's shit like TPP and just all these things. You're like, "Huh, that's interesting. He didn't go down." You know, it's like, it's like, damn, that's crazy.
And then even with the Israel thing,
if he does get elected again and he doesn't start any new wars, that's the GOAT right there. I'm sorry, dude. That's
like, of our lifetime. It's not even up. Of my lifetime, I've lived under
no wars.
I was born in 90, so I have to say at least Clinton was. I can't say H.W. Bush, but it still wouldn't matter either way. Clinton, right? Bush, W. Bush. You have the Iraq War. You have all these crazy things, and then you have, you know, Obama, and then you have Trump. It's like, it's not a tough it's not a tough thing to say like that. He was the best of my lifetime. Like, I think there's just so many limitations as president that you have, even though you are,
you know, if you there's the, like, Rex Tillerson, you remember, he was like the first, he was his first Secretary of State. He wrote a book and he essentially said, you know, during the meetings with Trump and Netanyahu, Trump would come back to the White House and say, "You know what? I think it's actually, I don't know if Netanyahu really wants peace. I don't know. I think he's trying to play me. Yeah. I think he's trying to play me. I don't believe him. I think he's trying to lie to me. I think he thinks I'm stupid." So, like, it's interesting to see that a little peek into the White House of Trump saying, "I think that guy over in Israel is lying to me. I think, I mean, but no matter what he wanted to do, like, obviously the powers that be didn't allow him or convinced him to do otherwise in terms of, you know, going about Israel a different way than he did, but it's just interesting to know that in his head, he was kind of like aware that something sour was going on over there.
Yeah, he's got the business acumen. Yeah. You know, it's that's part of it. He's like, oh, this guy's a shyster. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, it's weird. Like, yeah. No, I mean, I this is not the same guy at all. But there's two people that I get reminded of when I see Trump, and it's like Nixon is one of them, right? I mean, down to the Watergate thing. Nixon was probably the smartest president that we've ever had, to his own detriment. Like, he was smart enough to be so paranoid, basically, and trust the wrong people. But like, Nixon was, dude, like, classically trained pianist. Like, no, there's just videos of him in like his daughter's wedding, just like getting down, like just like playing like insane, like numbers and stuff. And then, you know, I think he spoke like a bunch of languages and stuff. He was just like, but if you ask the average like boomer now about Nixon, who's like a Democrat, they're like, oh, he was just a lying crook moron, you know? And it's like, and then like, also like you go back, I'm listening to the commentaries of Caesar right now, and I'm like, this is totally what Trump would do. Like, it's just this, like, but at the end of the day, like, everybody, all the Romans after a while, they're like, yeah, but this shit is sick, dude. Like, they're like, this is like, they had like plumbing, dude, like in BC, like, or I mean is it what we have? No. Mm-hmm. But it's like, at the time, like, Jesus isn't around yet, and you're like, oh, we, like, there's water flowing, like there's like these recycling of water, and like, you know, all these like crazy systems that happen. And he was just like one of those dudes that would just go around and just make deals. And by deals, it was like, let me have some of this. And they're like, no, I've heard of you. I've heard of you, dude. I'm not falling for your shit, dude. This is, we're Germanic. We don't do that. And then he's just like, all right, I'm going to slaughter everybody. You know, like, it was just like one of, like, it seemed like, you know, a lot of this was his, a lot of, and again, we're talking about a different form of warfare and stuff. But I just was like, these are those people like that. I don't even think we could have that type of person now. Like, you do need to just be a talking head that goes on Jimmy Fallon, that's able to optically just go on like Jimmy Fallon and like listen to Questlove and then like eat an ice cream cone and then just smash the pharma button, smash the Israel button, smash all the climate change button. And then be able to, whenever there's a current thing, to install panic and allegiance in the paper. That's like what we asked for, all these people. Like, we don't have leaders anymore. Like, that's kind of what I mean. Like, we just have people. I mean, right now they're throwing it in our face because it's just two old guys.
Yeah. I mean, you know? it sounds silly, but the deep state is a real thing. And they all smash the same buttons because of the same people who are asking them to smash the buttons every year.
I know. It's tough. It's tough, dude. It's tough to like just tell people that, because there are people who are just like, yeah, but I want this guy to win. And, you know, I don't want to discourage people from voting if they want to vote. I mean, look, go ahead, whatever, do your thing. Like, but for the most part, I'm kind of like, dude, there's just know what can change. If you like, there's people that vote like on like a half court shot kind of situation.
Yeah.
Where they're like, well, if I vote for this guy, this, and it's like, nah, there's just certain things that just aren't going to change. And it's
like sad. The Israel thing, like when you see that, you know, 60% of Republicans and 80% of Democrats are against more military support for Israel. And then the following weeks, you see Congress pass a bunch of military support packages. It's like, these are your representatives. They are like blatantly not representing you. Like, it's, some things are just not, you know, like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you have like, you know, again, bringing up my coworkers, I always like to do litmus tests, like how much do they hear about? I'm plugged in, so like I hear more stuff than they do. For the most part, when they're talking about Israel versus Palestine, nobody's taking sides. They're just there going like, God, I hope we don't get involved. We are involved, but I just mean like, we hope that it doesn't become America sends, you know, Iraq war levels of troops over there and really starts, you know, really start scorching everything over there. And like, that's kind of their biggest thing. And I'm like, that's such a strange thing when you think about like the 40s or like the 30s, where it was like, no, go get Hitler. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like that was kind of like, go get Hitler, like take care of Japan. I mean, whether you agree with that or not, like there are people, like it was kind of the overwhelming sentiment of the country. And like, you look around and it's like, yeah, that's because shit sucks right now. Like,
that's why lockdowns were so crazy.
Yeah.
Because like, you have a bunch of people who are so, I mean, and it's a genocide. It's horrible what's happening in Palestine. You have so many people, and I mean, Russia, Ukraine, anything, the border, But like, you have so many people that are so worried about things that probably will never affect like their immediate family, but like they're forgetting like the government still has the power to unilaterally shut down the entire country for as long as they want. It's like, it's what is more, what is like, what will affect your life more than that?
And the like the tech infrastructure. That's the scary part, because like, dude, like, back to the Caesar times, like we couldn't have, the problem is now, and like this is going to sound super like stoner stream of conscious, I don't care, that's what the show is, so like the, but you think about like, okay, there's always, can we have the American Caesar, can we, do we want the American Caesar? There's all these like fun debates you can get into with it, but at the end of the day, like Caesar never had to compete with a smartphone. Like he never did. People now, like, it's so scary even for somebody like me. I can not leave my house for 3 days if I have to. In fact, I have. Like, it's just, it just is what it is. Like, I mean, yeah, I'll go for a walk and stuff like that. But like, you could, if you had three straight days off of work, didn't have anything to go do that, or if you work at home now, it's really hard. Like, I think that tech right now is Caesar. Like the big, like big tech. Because I don't, these inventions make things easier for a lot of people. It's just a thing. It's things we don't need to be easier. And that is like my thing right now is like, you're right now, we are ruled by tech. Like I do actually, you know, agree big time with a lot of the stuff that Whitney Webb is talking about. Cause a lot of times, a lot of this stuff is just like tech wars right now is like what we're into. And you know, there's people that, you know, I've heard people talking about Christianity the other day on the timeline. And they were like, well, the Iraq war was fought like on some religious stuff. It was like Christians versus Muslims. It's like, no, that was not what it was for. Like, that, like, you know, like we haven't really fought that kind of war in a while. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like everything just is, and perhaps we never did. Perhaps it was always resources that we were fighting over. But right now it just feels extra weird because it feels like the biggest war is just like, it's being fought against us more so than anything. And it's really tough for me to, you know, I love the conversations we have. I love just checking in about like Israel and Palestine. But for the most part, I'm just like, dude, gas is like $5.50 a gallon over here, dude.
Dude, and it just cost me $100 to fill up my tank.
Exactly. Like it, and it's sad. And it's like, you don't make $100 an hour. You know what I mean? Like that's just the thing right now. Like
none of the candidates that we're getting to choose from are explicitly explaining how I'm gonna fix that. Yeah. You know, they'll give you some, you know, they'll mention it here and there because they want your vote, but they're not actually, no one's actually going to make gas cheaper. No one's actually gonna make your grocery store runs cheaper, which is like, and that's what all of the representative, all of the constituents of every representative wants in their life.
Yeah. I mean, look, just the other day, dude, it was very dystopian. This happens a lot in the Bay Area because we have like access to like the tech, like the big tech that happens out here. Like you see it more before anybody else did, but I saw these things kind of flopped, but I saw like the Apple Vision, somebody walking around with Apple Vision. I saw
outside.
Yeah.
In the wild, I've never seen.
Yeah, it. It's only been once, but so I don't think it's gonna. I think that product is a flop. Steve Jobs would never. I'll just say that much. And then, but then a Cybertruck drove by, which I actually do see a lot of those out here. And then all of a sudden, like I just saw some like guy just like straight up incapacitated, pants at his ankles. It wasn't Cy, but it was just like these people, like this guy's like screaming out in the street. Like, just like, I was like, this isn't anything political. I'm not trying to propose any political ideology here. I'm just like, it is strange that I saw all of those things in a matter of.
Yeah.
It's freaking weird.
Yeah. Yeah. like that's just all I can say. It's like, it's tough, man. Like it's tough. They make it really good. I listened to a communist talk about this once, like a communist guy who I don't really agree with, but he was talking about, he goes, and there's problems with what he says here. He's like, he goes, hey, if China fucks up, I know who to be mad at. You know what I mean? Which I'm like, okay, then what? But anyways, you know, whatever. Yeah. He didn't have an answer for that. But I was just like, all right, whatever. But I'm like, I don't even know who to be mad at half the time here. I'm like, who am I mad at? Am I mad at Gavin Newsom? Yeah. Is Gavin Newsom the only thing that's bad about this state? No. Like,
if it wasn't Gavin Newsom, it would be somebody else.
It's tough. It's tough not to want to log off and grill, man. It's tough not to want to do that. And I do urge people to at least do that a little bit in your life. There is no reward from being
completely plugged into the matrix all the time to get the most information. There is no reward for that. So, you know, they're it's tough. You should care, but you should also be able to 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I've always wanted to be that way, even though sometimes I'm 2 feet in, sometimes I'm 2 feet out. So, well, yeah. Anyways, Jeremy, as always, thanks for checking in with us. You are, I don't really like a lot of journalists, dude. And I don't
either.
Because it's so strange. Like, we were talking about it earlier. Like, it's just like they can pivot. They can just, like, you know, they can just, and it's not even like an organic pivot where you're like, oh, all right, I disagree with you there. All right. It's always just like, no, they're like rabid about this thing.
People said that I did a pivot because I worked for Rebel News. They're very Zionist. And then I worked for a lot of like Gray Zone. But it's like, no, I only worked for Rebel News because of like the lockdowns and the vaccine. And then I left when that was, you know, coming to an end.
Rebel News did awesome work with the trucking protests.
Of course they did.
I'll,
yeah.
I'll never forget 100%. That. I mean, like that is what it is. Like, it's just, again, but some people that are anti-vax are Zionists. Like, but there are some journalists where it's just like they'll pivot so hard, and you know that it was like it's either being fed down from an employer, but also like they are these people that think they are the czars of truth. Like, they take that job to be the czar of truth, you know, and you can tell they're just lying through their teeth, or are such a blank canvas that they can just be painted on and just be like, oh, this is what you are now, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, but at least I, like, with you, I know, you know, like, I know, like, you're going to say what you've, you know, you're going to at least try to find the answer to something, you know, and even if the answer is not great, even if it's like, yeah, there's not much we can do. It's still the answer. Very nice of you. Hey, you know, I mean, it's still the answer. So, what do you got going on? I'm sure Gaza's not going to cool down for a while, but
tomorrow, I spent some time in the Armenian Christian quarter of Jerusalem, and Israel and Jewish settlers have been trying to essentially steal the Armenian quarter from the Christians there.
Is that right?
They've been destroying things. They've been showing up with guns and attack dogs and bulldozers. And so tomorrow I'm going to publish a report that I put together when I was there for a handful of days.
Well, yeah. I mean, I hope everybody's on the lookout for that. Where can everybody find your stuff? I mean, I know they follow you on Twitter at Lafredo Jeremy.
Yeah, Twitter, Lafredo Jeremy. And then all of the video reports from Gaza and Israel will be on the Gray Zone YouTube.
GZ. Yeah, we're overdue for another Max B episode. Hopefully, he doesn't mind the rabbis for the sex jokes. He probably likes it. But yeah, it's on that note, guys, everyone have a safe week.